Chapter 8. He tore out a page of his pocketbook, moistened his pencil with great energy and waited, stamping his feet impatiently. I will see this thing through, he muttered to himself. And I will have it all square and ship-shape. See if I don't. Are you going to bring that lamp, you son of a crippled mud turtle? I am waiting. The gleam of the light on the paper placated his professional anger, and he wrote rapidly, the final dash of his signature curling the paper up in a triangular tear. Take that to this white toon's house. I will send the boat back for you in half an hour. The coxswain raised his lamp deliberately to Willem's face. This toon? Ta. I know. Quick then, said Lingard, taking the lamp from him, and the man went off at a run. Cass I mem. To the lady herself, called Lingard after him. Then, when the man disappeared, he turned to Willems. I have written to your wife, he said. If you do not return for good, you do not go back to that house only for another parting. You must come as you stand. I won't have that poor woman tormented. I will see to it that you are not separated for long. Trust me. Willems shivered, then smiled in the darkness. No fear of that, he muttered, enigmatically. Trust you implicitly, Captain Lingard, he added, in a louder tone. Lingard led the way down the steps, swinging the lamp and speaking over his shoulder. It is the second time, Willems, I take you in hand. Mind it is the last. The second time, and the only difference between then and now is that you were barefooted then, and have boots now. In 14 years. With all your smartness. A poor result that. A very poor result. He stood for a while on the lowest platform of the steps, the light of the lamp falling on the upturned face of the stroke oar, who held the gunwale of the boat close alongside, ready for the captain to step in. You see, he went on, argumentatively, fumbling about the top of the lamp, you got yourself so crooked amongst those longshore quill drivers, that you could not run clear in any way. That's what comes of such talk as yours, and of such a life. A man sees so much falsehood, that he begins to lie to himself. Pah! He said, in disgust, there's only one place for an honest man. The sea, my boy, the sea. But you never would. Didn't think there was enough money in it. And now look. He blew the light out, and, stepping into the boat, stretched quickly his hand towards Willems, with friendly care. Willems sat by him in silence, and the boat shoved off, sweeping in a wide circle towards the brig. Your compassion is all for my wife, Captain Lingard, said Willems, moodily. Oh, you think I am so very happy? No. No. Said Lingard, heartily. Not a word more shall pass my lips. I had to speak my mind once, seeing that I knew you from a child, so to speak. And now I shall forget, but you are young yet. Life is very long, he went on, with unconscious sadness. Let this be a lesson to you. He laid his hand affectionately on Willem's shoulder, and they both sat silent till the boat came alongside the ship's ladder. When on board, Lingard gave orders to his mate, and leading Willems on the poop, sat on the breech of one of the brass 6-pounders with which his vessel was armed. The boat went off again, to bring back the messenger. As soon as it was seen returning, dark forms appeared on the brick spars, then the sails fell in festoons with a swish of their heavy folds, and hung motionless under the yards, in the dead calm of the clear and dewy night. From the forward end, came the clink of the windlass, and soon afterwards the hail of the chief mate informing Lingard that the cable was hove short. Hold on everything, hailed back Lingard. We must wait for the land breeze before we let go our hold of the ground. He approached Willems, who sat on the skylight, his body bent down, his head low, and his hands hanging listlessly between his knees. I am going to take you to Samber, he said. You have never heard of the place, have you? Well, it's up that river of mine about which people talk so much and know so little. I found out the entrance for a ship of Flash's size. It isn't easy. You will see. I will show you. You have been at sea long enough to take an interest. Pity you didn't stick to it. Well, I am going there. I have my own trading post in the place. Almayer is my partner. You knew him when he was at Utix. Oh, he lives there as happy as a king. Do you see, I have them all in my pocket. The Raja is an old friend of mine. My word is law, and I am the only trader. No other white man, but Almayer had ever been in that settlement. You will live quietly there till I come back from my next cruise to the westward. We shall see then, what can be done for you. Never fear. I have no doubt my secret will be safe with you. Keep mum about my river, when you get amongst the traders again. There's many would give their ears for the knowledge of it. I'll tell you something. That's where I get all my gutta and rattans. Simply inexhaustible, my boy. While Lingard spoke, Willems looked up quickly, but soon his head fell on his breast in the discouraging certitude that the knowledge he and Hudig had wished for so much had come to him too late. He sat in a listless attitude. You will help Almayer in his trading, if you have a heart for it, continued Lingard, just to kill time till I come back for you. Only 6 weeks or so. Over their heads the damp sails fluttered noisily in the first faint puff of the breeze. Then, as the airs freshened, the brig tended to the wind, and the silenced canvas lay quietly aback. The mate spoke with low distinctness from the shadows of the quarter deck. There's the breeze. Which way do you want to cast her, Captain Lingard? Lingard's eyes, that had been fixed aloft, glanced down at the dejected figure of the man sitting on the skylight. He seemed to hesitate for a minute. To the northward, he answered, testily, as if annoyed at his own fleeting thought, and bear a hand there. Every puff of wind is worth money in these seas. He remained motionless, listening to the rattle of blocks, and the creaking of trusses as the head yards were hauled round. Sail was made on the ship and the windlass manned again, while he stood still, lost in thought. He only roused himself when a barefooted sea canny glided past him silently on his way to the wheel. Put the helm aport. Hard over, he said, in his harsh sea voice, to the man whose face appeared suddenly out of the darkness in the circle of light thrown upwards from the binnacle lamps. The anchor was secured, the yards trimmed, and the brig began to move out of the roadstead. The sea woke up under the push of the sharp cutwater, and whispered softly to the gliding craft in that tender and rippling murmur in which it speaks sometimes to those it nurses and loves. Lingard stood by the taffrail listening, with a pleased smile till the flash began to draw close to the only other vessel in the anchorage. Here, Willems, he said, calling him to his side, do you see that bark here? That's an Arab vessel. White men have mostly given up the game, but this fellow drops in my wake often, and lives in hopes of cutting me out in that settlement. Not while I live, I trust. You see, Willems, I brought prosperity to that place. I composed their quarrels, and saw them grow under my eyes. There's peace and happiness there. I am more master there than His Dutch Excellency down in Batavia ever will be when someday a lazy man of war blunders at last against the river. I mean to keep the Arabs out of it, with their lies and their intrigues. I shall keep the venomous breed out, if it costs me my fortune. The flash drew quietly abreast of the bark, and was beginning to drop it astern, when a white figure started up on the poop of the Arab vessel, and a voice called out, greeting to the Raja Lot. To you greeting, answered Lingard, after a moment of hesitating surprise. Then he turned to Willems with a grim smile. Hats Abdullah's voice, he said. Idy civil all of a sudden, isn't he? I wonder what it means. Just like his impudence. No matter. His civility or his impudence are all one to me. I know that this fellow will be underway, and after me like a shot. I don't care. I have the heels of anything that floats in these seas, he added, while his proud and loving glance ran over, and rested fondly amongst the brig's lofty and graceful spars. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.